15. The drop. "Fitzroy," Clammy said, on her iPhone. She was staring up at the round bottom of number 4's birdcage. Having left a freshly coiffed Heidi in Selfridges, preparing to test for residual viability in several of Fuckstick's credit cards. "Fitzroy?" "This neighborhood," Clammy said. "Melbourne. Round Brunswick Street. Rose Street, off Brunswick. Rose Street's got this artist's market. Mare took me. Meredith. Old George knew her." That would be Oldevay George, the Bollards' brilliant, virtually forehead-free keyboardist, whom Inchmail said had more brains in his little finger than the rest of them put together. And even number 2 crop that looked like a very tight fur hat, like one of Clammy's black cashmere beanies, except he couldn't take it off. Massive jaw and cheekbones, permanent glossy black stubble, huge deep-set intelligent eyes. "First thing I saw was her hounds, girls' hounds," Clammy continued. "Looked good? Hit it in a minute." Meaning, she thought, that he hadn't, but would have, in theory at least. "And you had hounds in common?"
"Wanted to," Clammy said. "Worst way. I'd seen that Pillock Burton in a pair, fat ass."
The transition from arse, not yet quite bridged. Burton, whose fat ass she thought she'd heard cited before, did something in a band Clammy detested. The intensity of loathing one professional musician could manifest for another had been one of her least favorite things about the business. She'd bypassed it, she supposed, by generally avoiding the company of professional musicians. They weren't all like that, by any means, she knew, but better safe than sorry.
"So you admired her jeans?"
"Made it known," Clammy said, "that I knew what they were."
"And?"
"She asked me if I'd like a pair. Told me she knew of a drop."
"Drop?"
"A shipment."
"Where from?"
"Didn't want to ask," he said gravely. "Wanted me hounds. Next day," she said. "Said she'd take me."
It was growing dark outside, taking number 4 with it. The bottom of the birdcage hung above her, the shadow of a mothership, discoidal, like solidified dusk, waiting to radiate some energy, carve her with crop circles, perhaps. She became momentarily aware of a susurrus, the sea of London traffic, the fingers of her free hand on the scrimshod walrus ivory of the Piblocto Madness bed. And?
"The others, they figured we were hooking up, except George. He knew her."
"Where from?"
"Cordwainers, London College of Fashion. She'd studied shoe design, had 2 seasons of her own line. Went back to Melbourne after that, making belts and purses. Serious girl," George said.
"He was at Cordwainers?"
"Fucking Oxford, George. Seeing another Cordwainers girl, friend of hers."
Hollis realized that she was framing all of this, visualizing it, in a Melbourne that had almost nothing to do with any actual city. They'd played Melbourne and Sydney twice each, touring, and each time she'd been so jet-lagged and so embroiled with band politics that she'd scarcely registered either place. Her Melbourne was a collage, a mashup, like a Canadianized Los Angeles, Anglo-colonial Victorian amid a terraformed sprawl of suburbs. All of the larger trees in Los Angeles, Inchmail had told her, were Australian. She supposed the ones in Melbourne were as well. The city in which she was imagining Clammy now wasn't real. A stand-in. Something patched together from what little she had available. She felt a sudden, intense urge to go there. Not to whatever the real Melbourne might be, but to the sunny and approximate sham.
"And she got them for you?"
she asked Clammy.
"Came in the morning. Drove me to Brunswick Street. Eggs and bacon in a vegan lesbian cafe bar."
"Vegan bacon?"
"Open-minded. We talked about hounds. I got the idea she'd met someone here, London, when she'd been at Cordwainers, who was in on the start of hounds."
"It started here?"
"Didn't say that. But someone here had known something about it, early stages."
The bottom of the cage was perfectly dark now, the insectoid wallpaper dimly floral.
"We have a deal," she reminded him.
"We do," he agreed. "But there may be less to it than you're expecting. Now I've had time to think about it."
"Let me be the judge of that."
"So breakfast, and we talk, then we hit the market. I thought it would be more like the close end of Portobello or Camden Lock,
but it was more artists, craftsy stuff, Japanese prints, paintings, jewelry, things the sellers had made. When was this? Last March, still hot. People had been lining up for hounds while we ate. Market's not very big. Mare leads me straight to this queue. Inside, I'd say 20 people, more after us. Out in a yard. I'm thinking, that's not for us. But she says it is. We have to queue too. What were the other people like waiting? Focused, he said. No chatting. And they all seemed to be alone, trying to look casual-like. Male? Female? More male. Age? Mixed. She wondered what that meant to Clammy. And they were waiting for... There was a table, and under this old beach umbrella, we were in the sun getting hotter. He's sitting under there behind the table. He? White, maybe 30, American. She guessed Clammy might be unable to estimate age accurately. Over about 20 or so. How do you know? Spoke with him, didn't I, when I got up there? What about? Shrinkage, Clammy said. Sizing. Hounds are sized to shrink to the label size. Just under in the waist. Then that stretches a little. True sizes, no vanity sizing. Anything else? He'd only sell me the one pair. Had three in my size. Showed him the readies. Said he couldn't. One to a customer. Kept things moving. Another 20, 30 people behind us. What was he like? Reddish hair, freckles. A white shirt I wondered about. Why? If it might be hounds. Simple, like, but then not so simple. Like hounds. He had his cash folded in one hand. No coins, cash only. How much? 200 Australian. Was he alone? Two Aussie girls. Friends of mares. It was actually their pitch he was using. Sell mares belts, tees they print, jewelry. Names? Nah. Mare'd know. She's in Melbourne? Nah, Paris. She let the darkness of the mothership's hull fill her field of vision. Paris? What I said. Do you know how to reach her? She's at some vintage clothing fair, 2 days. Starts tomorrow. Old George is there with her. Inchmail's pissed that he left while we're in studio.
I need to meet her. Tomorrow or the next day. Can you arrange that?
Remember our agreement?
Absolutely. Get on it now. Call me back.
Kay, said Clammy, and was gone. The iPhone suddenly inert, empty.